Good morning, everyone. All right, this morning, actually for the month, we're going to talk about what do the scriptures say about what it means to believe in Jesus. I heard it for years, and I've shared with you, people say, well, I believe in Jesus, and that's all I got to do. Well, that's your opinion. What we need to find out is what does the word say? What does the language say? What does the word believe mean? And today, we're going to hear it from Jesus' own lips. I've entitled this message, Follow Me. It's out of Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 33. And I'm going to try not to chase rabbits or get redundant today. I'm going to try to be more focused. Maybe I'll get you out of here quicker. My mind goes 50 different directions when I'm talking. And I think, ooh, that's a good point. And I get off on it. Now I'm doing it, isn't I? Aren't I? All right. Well, we're going to try to watch it. Father, I thank you for those who've come out today. I thank you for your word because I know it's the truth. Lord, I ask that you will take your truth to our hearts. Take your word to our hearts. Lord Jesus, I especially ask that you would enable us through the conviction of the Holy Spirit to shine that light within our own hearts and see if we're doing as you have commanded us to do. I thank you for all this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. All right, now to our text. Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, and wife and children, and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. This is the beginning of a series we're going to do at least through this month. As I said, we're going to talk about what does the word say it means to believe in Jesus? What does the word mean about faith? What is the source of our faith? What is our guidelines? What book do we go by? And you know how I feel. The Word of God is the only book we need. Now, there's Christian authors I know have written good books. I'm not saying it's wrong to read those books to help, because sometimes those books can speak to us directly, especially people that's maybe they've been through something that you're going through, and the information they give in the book can really help. But bottom line, John Wesley said, give me that book. And that's my stance. The Bible is the infallible, inerrant Word of God. It doesn't need any help. The only help it needs is the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth to us. Now, very quickly, I had a lady, and I won't name the church because that seems to offend people. A church Judy and I attended, her husband was an elder, and bless their hearts, they took us in when we started attending this church and said, we'll do a weekly Bible study. Well, that thrilled me because I hadn't been saved that long. And we came upon this text and I asked about it. And she said, well, Jesus was talking to people that want to be preachers and missionaries. And she read John 3:16. Whosoever believes in him shall be saved. Believeth, it was the King James, shall not perish. But she said, this one is a higher call. And I said, you're taking that out of context. Because you could say the same thing when Jesus said, whosoever believes in me shall not perish. You could say, well, that's only for the people that have the higher call. That's what you call taking a text out of context and making a pretext out of it. And I'm not saying that boasting of myself, but that's the way I felt about it. And that's what we too often do. So today we're going to talk about what Jesus himself said when it comes to the issue of being a disciple. A disciple, the Hebrew word is taladim. And the idea of discipleship came from the Hebrews. And a taladim not only wanted to know what his rabbi knew or her rabbi knew, they wanted to be just like their rabbi. And you remember Jesus told his men, a disciple cannot be above his teacher, but a disciple is to be like his teacher. So keep that in front of your mind. We who are called Christians, we are called to be like Jesus. We've talked about this last month. God wants to mold us into the image of Jesus. Now there's great crowds following Jesus, and very often when they did, I noticed that's when Jesus would turn around and say something hard. I call it the hard sayings of Jesus. Great crowds would follow him. And when you read scripture, there were several different reasons. They saw his miracles. Some got their bellies full when he fed the 5,000. And these great crowds decided they wanted to follow him. And it's at that time that Jesus would turn around and say something hard. And if you remember, when he fed the 5,000, after he got done talking, it said many of his disciples, those who said, we want to be your followers, said, this is hard, who can accept this? And they walked away. And Jesus looked at the 12 and he said, are you going to walk away? Now, there was over 5,000 people that he fed. And the implication to me is it went from 10,000 people, because that's what they estimate there could have been, down to 12. Now that's people walking out of a church, y'all. In today's standards, they would say Jesus wasn't a very good pastor. He offended all but 12 people, and they left. But Jesus wants us to understand and wanted them to understand exactly what he expects out of a Christian. What does God the Father expect out of a Christian? So these are considered hard sayings, but they're true sayings. If you believe the Word of God is truth, and I do. So Jesus begins by saying, if anyone comes to me, anyone. It doesn't say any preacher, any missionary, anybody who wants to be in a higher calling comes to me. He says, anyone. Who's anyone? Anyone. Not everybody following him wanted to be a preacher. Not everybody following him was called to be a missionary. Not everyone following him was called to be an elder in a church or a Sunday school teacher, and yada, yada, yada. Jesus said, anyone. He turned around and looks at this large crowd, and he says, if any of you, let's say it that way, if any of you want to be my disciple. Now that got their attention. Oh, I'm ready. What do I need to do? He said, if you don't hate your father and your mother and wife, that's easier for some than others, and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even your own life, you can't be my disciple. Now, why would this preacher of love say, I want you to hate? Well, there's an explanation for that. I'm going to share that with you. The word translated hate in the Greek that's used here has two different meanings. The first meaning is to detest, especially to persecute. I'll give you two quick examples. Jesus said, blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. The second example, Jesus warned his disciples then and now, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. Same word. But this word to hate also means to love less. And I've got two examples there for that. Jesus said, do not think I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Here's the second. And brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against their parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Same word. When Jesus says we have, in comparison to our wife, our husband, our children, our grandchildren, nieces, nephews, the list can go on and on and on. Jesus said, if you love them more than me, you can't be my disciple. And I gave you two examples. He's talking about end times. People, I believe in the tribulation that's coming on the earth. And I'm not going into great detail. It's in the book of Revelation. But I believe we're all going to be here. And I believe that's where the rubber's going to meet the road. Because you are going to be put to the ultimate test. Whether you're going to hang on to your faith. Whether you're going to follow Jesus Christ. Or you're going to go with your family. I've talked to two different men since I've been a preacher. Who were ministers. And their wives told them, me or the ministry, dude. Make a choice. And they both left the ministry. And one of them's wife went ahead and left him anyway. She had a guy on the side. And he said, I've never preached again, Rick. He said, I serve in my church, I work with youth, but I'll never step behind a pulpit again. He said that scripture hit him right between the eyes. I love my wife more than I did my Christ. And he said, I'm not worthy to preach. I didn't argue. I had a lady tell me once, well, if the mark of the beast comes, I've got kids to feed and the Lord will understand. I'm going to take the mark of the beast and feed my children. And I said, my Bible says whoever takes the mark of the beast will have their part in the lake of fire. It doesn't say have any exemptions. Well, unless you have kids, then God will understand. No, that's what Jesus is saying. You can't love them more than me. In today's culture, I was just talking to a young man before the service. In today's culture, Christians are considered bigots, troublemakers, narrow-minded, intolerant. And church, here's the sad thing. Some people in your own family may label you that way. And Jesus is saying, you're going to have to make a choice. Are you going to follow me? Are you going to cave into them? My wife understands I can't love her more than I love my Savior. And I understand my wife cannot love me more than she loves Jesus Christ. And if I see that she's doing it or think she's doing it, I'm going to bring it to her attention and say, you can't do that. This is what Jesus is talking about. He's not saying to detest your family, to hate your family. That would contradict other things that Jesus has said about the family. But he is saying, church, to us, you cannot love them more than you love me. You can't even love your life more than you love me. You can't love your job more than you love me. If God's calling you to do something else, Jesus said, don't pick your job over me. That's a hard saying, isn't it? This means yes. Yeah, that's a hard saying. Because we have our own ideas of how we're going to serve God, what we're willing to give up, what we're willing to do, and God says no. He said in the law of Moses, and that applies to us today, he said you have to love me with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and I'm a jealous God, and I'm not going to share that love with anybody else. Now, these were Jews that were following Jesus, and when he said this, I'm sure that resounded in their minds, and they said, oh man, that's just what the law says. And Jesus reaffirmed it. He said, if you want to be my disciple, you can't love anybody more than me. That seems harsh to us today. We live in a time of, it's all about me. It's all about me. God's second. You notice Jesus said that last scripture I read to you, that those who endure to the end will be saved. I've heard a lot of debate over the years. Well, they weren't really saved in the first place, or that wouldn't have happened. Here's my opinion very quickly. Jesus Christ will determine who is and isn't saved at the end. Yeah. Jesus didn't say, and those who say the sinner's prayer, those who join a church, those who are baptized will be saved. Now, are those things important? Very important, yes. But you notice the Lord didn't say that. He spoke on purpose and with purpose. He said, it's those who endure to the end. What does that mean? There are going to be things you'll have to endure if you're going to follow me. Like name calling, family and friends turning your back on you, maybe even your own spouse. Maybe losing your job. See what he's getting at? The persecution and the tribulation that's coming. I believe there'll be a lot of professed Christians during the tribulation will renounce Jesus Christ and walk away. When Mao Zedong took over China, a lot of Chinese Christians renounced their faith because he was having them tortured. And you know, one of the reasons they gave was the missionaries told him they wouldn't have to suffer for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're all going to get raptured out. And they said, you lied to us. That's what's going to happen during the tribulation, church. I believe that with all my heart. A lot of professed Christians are going to say, you lied to me. I'm not willing to go this far. And that's because they have been told by teachers, false teachers, that they're saved. Well, of course you're saved. I said the sinner's prayer with you. And they've also been told that God is a cosmic genie who's just waiting to fulfill every desire you have. All you got to do is tell him. It's all about you. That's not what the Lord said. See, he's saying, it's not about what you're going to get. If you follow me, it's what are you willing to give? Are you willing to give it all? If you're not, he said, don't bother following me. That's harsh. Some of you probably wish you stayed at home. This is hard when I get it. Yeah. This isn't me saying, you need to get here and I'm there. This causes me to do self-examination. Jesus said, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. The Apostle Paul wrote, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. The sad thing about this is a lot of Christians today feel the same way about the word of the cross. Whenever the word or a teacher or a speaker brings out the fact that Jesus is saying, you got to die to yourself, they say, that's stupid. That's not what that means. It's folly to them. So see, the word of the cross can be folly to the unbeliever and the believer. Where do you stand on that? Don't answer it out loud. Think about it. Do you believe you need to die to self in order to live for God? That's what the scriptures say. That's what the scriptures tell us. Paul wrote to the church at Galatia what the cross meant to him. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I know you caught what Paul was saying. Look, I'm still in this body. That's what he means by in the flesh. I'm still Paul, but I'm not Paul anymore. This body belongs to Jesus Christ, and he can do whatever he pleases. This body's going to go where he tells me to go. This body's going to say what he tells me to say. This body's going to do whatever he tells me to do, because it's not me that's in control anymore. It's Jesus Christ. There's no wiggle room there, church. Was Paul boasting? No. Actually, he was rebuking a fellow elder who was trying to cause some dissension. Not on purpose. But Paul rebuked him, and he reminded him, look, we've been crucified with Christ. We've died to ourselves. And we're not here to please people anymore. We're here to please God. Do you believe that? You know, the Bible says if we please people that we're in trouble. Jesus said if the world speaks evil of you, rejoice and be glad because you got the same reward that the prophets did, because that's how they treated the prophets. But he said, Christian, if the world speaks well of you, be careful, because that's how they treated the false prophets. Now, he's not telling us to go around and be jerks and be hated, be obnoxious, but he's saying, you're going to have to stand as I stood for you. Robin shared about him could have called 10,000 angels. Actually, it was 72,000, but I guess that didn't fit in a song. But it's the fact Peter cut a guy's ear off. He was wanting to stop what was going to happen, and the Lord rebuked him and said, Peter, I could call 12 legions of angels, and I'd be done. But he said, then the scriptures wouldn't be fulfilled. He was willing to carry that cross for us. And he's saying, are you going to carry it for me? He commanded us. This isn't a suggestion. This isn't, well, if you got the time or if you think you can, you know. He's saying, if you can't carry your cross like I carried mine, you can't be my disciple. You can call yourself a Christian, but it doesn't make you one. Christianity is not about you and me. It's about him. As Christians, we are here to glorify him, not me, not you. Now, we live in dangerous times. I understand that. Charlie Kirk is living proof of this. People identify with the ideas they have now, and if you dare try to challenge their ideas, they take that as a violent speech and they say, I got a right to react violently against you. They did it to the Lord. I've had people tell me, well, now Jesus was not a confrontational person. Dude, you're reading a different book than I am. Jesus was and is the greatest apologist who ever lived, and he confronted the culture of his day because their social injustice and their lack of biblical morality. He did it in love. Yeah, but Jesus ate with tax collectors and hookers. Yeah, but Jesus told them the truth while he ate with them. And when the religious leaders condemned him for it, he said, these are the people I came to save. He didn't change. He kept being Jesus the whole time. He didn't get hammered. Jesus drank wine. But he didn't get drunk. Jesus sat with tax collectors. Boy, that takes a lot of nerve. He sat with prostitutes, thieves, liars. But when they repented, it was the same Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. See, that's why he came, was to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us, and to make new people out of us. What's different about you since you came to Christ? Don't answer that out loud. Think on that. Why? How am I different since I came to Jesus Christ? Am I different? Has he changed me? And if not, why not? Yeah. Why not if he hasn't? Well, then the problem's on your side, not his. Okay? It's on my side, not his. If there's things in my life that are interfering with my fellowship and relationship with Jesus Christ, none of it's his fault, it's Rick's fault. I haven't nailed him to the cross yet. I'm almost done. That's what a Christian should view the cross as. Paul said, far be it from me to boast except in the cross for our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. The cross When we accept Jesus Christ, the power of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ gives you and I victory over sin, death, the devil, and the world. So why are we still living like we're under the power of the world? Because we want to. Darn, Jesus, I'll give you this and that, but not this. I struggled with tobacco for years, and I'd tell the Lord, man, I quit smoking weed, drinking whiskey, and chasing wild women. Let me have my cigarettes. Good night. But you know what the Holy Spirit kept saying? Nope. Nope. I want you to give them up. And I finally had to reach a place that I had to take them to the cross and say, Lord, I can't do this. I like my cigarettes too much. But by your grace, I won't smoke another one. I guess I'm trying to do like Paul. I boast a little bit about my weakness. I like tobacco. I like weed. But the Holy Spirit said, I don't want you having an altered level of consciousness. Jesus said, you're going to carry your cross. All of us have a cross to bear, and some of it's different for some of us, the things that we have to deal with. Some of us, it could be that we love our family more than we love the Lord. We give them precedence over our service to God. It could be our attitudes. It could be the love of the world. We may love this world. We may want to get along with the world. I've never understood that. I mean, I understand that we want to be loving and tolerant and acceptable and able to talk to people, but the Lord says, if you love the world, you're my enemy. We got to break away from that, church. I just read what Jesus said. If the world hates you, it hated me first. Paul said, those who are going to live a godly life in Christ Jesus might be persecuted. No, he said, they will be persecuted. Jesus said, you will be persecuted. You might even lose your life. And he said, you can't love your life more than me. Did he love his life more than us? No. He laid it down. He said, nobody's taking my life away from me. I'm laying it down of my own will. Because that's what the Father wants me to do. Now, he gives two examples very quickly I'll touch on. He gives two examples about the forethought that we need to put into whether we're really going to follow him or not. He says, which one of you, if you want to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. This Greek word tower means a wall or a castle for the defense of a city. It also means an observatory. It was the thing that set several stories high that you could get up and see for a long ways off, see the enemy coming. It was a massive wall or a fortress. And Jesus said, if you decide you're going to build something like that, don't you sit down and figure out if you got the money to do it? Because he said, if you don't, people are going to mock you. How often is the gospel mocked by professed Christians who walk away or don't live up to the standards that God's laid out for us? How often is the gospel mocked? I've been guilty of laying charge to the gospel as a professed believer. See, I'm not a perfect person to stand up here talking to you. I'm speaking from experience. We can cause people to mock the gospel of Jesus Christ by not being willing to do what he's asked us to do, what he's commanded us to do. So that was a defensive thing. The wall, the fortress, it's defensive to ward off attack. He says, what king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, when anybody says therefore, and we've talked about this, when they say therefore, it means based on what I've just told you, listen, pay attention to what I'm saying to you. Any one of you who does not renounce all he has cannot be my disciple. All that I have, all that you have. Now, is he saying, like the rich young ruler, that we got to sell everything and give it to the poor and follow him? He may be for some of us. He said, if you're not willing to do that, you can't be my disciple. Is it any wonder Jesus said that the road to heaven is narrow and very few find it? I think that's what he's talking about. Did you get what he's saying here? If you decide you're going to follow me, you're either going to be all in or you're not going to be in at all. Now, I'm glad that he is a patient God and a merciful God, and he wants to work with us and mold us into the image of Christ. But the outcome that God has in mind is we'll be just like Jesus. Jesus is not asking anyone in this room to do anything that he didn't do for us. Well, I thought it was just enough to believe. Faith without works is dead. The Greek word believe has a lot stronger implication than most of us in the West know, and we're going to be talking about that next Sunday. So you might not want to come back. I hope you will. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. He did exactly what the Father wanted him to do. And in the garden, you remember, he prayed to the Father and said, if this cup can pass from me, let it pass. Nevertheless, not what I will, but let your will be done. That needs to be our prayer, church. And I'm not talking about lip service. Oh God, let your will be done, as long as it doesn't go crisscross in my will. That's what a lot of us ought to pray. There's times I should pray that way. I hope your will be done, God, unless it's not part of my plan, then, you know, maybe someday, one of these days, eventually. I'll close with this passage from 2 Corinthians 13:5. Apostle Paul said, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail to meet the test. I tell you what, that is one of the strongest passages to me in the scriptures and one of the most haunting. But I think it's one we need to hear. The Corinthian church had a boatload of problems, and Paul was trying to correct it. And in the end of this second epistle, he said, look, the best advice I can give you, test yourself. What do I test myself to? The Word. That's the mirror we look into. Examine yourself. That word examine doesn't mean just a fleeting glance. It means look deep within yourself. Be honest with yourself before yourself and be honest with God. That's what he's talking about. So Jesus says to anyone who wants to follow him, this isn't a quick split decision. You know, we get in such a hurry today in churches to save people. We like to have people come forward and look what we're doing. But I've had people admit to me, I got saved at a youth rally. Really? Yeah, my friends went forward, so I went forward. And then later I've had people come to me and say, you know what, Rick? I don't think I understood what I was doing. I was baptized, you know, when I was this age, and now I don't think I knew what I was doing. Well, is it any wonder the Lord told us, think about what you're committing to? Because I want you to be all in. That's what he's saying. Are you willing to commit everything to me? Would you stand with me this morning? I am so glad, I'm going to reiterate this again, that he is a merciful, loving God, and he's a patient God. But he's a God who says what he means, and he means what he says. Jesus said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who do the will of my Father. We need to examine ourselves, church. I'm saying we, I'm including myself. Are we doing God's will in our life? And if we are not, do not expect to enter into the kingdom of heaven, because we won't. And that's not my opinion. That's what the Word says. That's what our Lord said.